Blog Talk Radio.
Consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Well, good evening, sports fans and music fans out there. Welcome to another live broadcast of Tom Flores' Hard Rocket Sports. Broadcasting live from Romero Court Studios here in lovely Monroe, New Jersey. It's our weekly get-together, 2 hours, where we talk whatever's on your mind, and basically whatever's on my mind. So we're going to get right into it this week. We got our recurring segment, 10 Minutes with Todd, in about the 7 o'clock hour. Todd will call in and give us whatever's on his mind. He'll give his wife a 10-minute break from him. So that'll be fun as hopefully it's as good as last week's 10 minutes. And it actually went over a little bit and caused me to shorten the music portion of the show. But it's all good. It's all good when it comes to Todd and his thoughts. Like I promised in my description of the show this week, it's going to be basically a free-for-all. Excuse me. But folks, by the way, I'm a little under the weather, so don't mind you know, I'm a little not feeling well, so I'm pushing through. So bear with me tonight if things don't sound as perfect as they should be. Kind of a free-for-all. You guys can call up and talk about anything you want out there in the world of sports and music, hopefully preferably hard rock and metal, but I'll listen to just about anything. Anyway, I got some stuff I want to throw out there, different topics, stuff you can call in on. I'll just do some rants. I do want to talk a little about the college football season that's upon us. Yeah, anybody who knows me knows I love college football almost more than I do pro football. I can watch nearly any college game on the planet. I can watch two Division III teams go at it. It's all fine. I love watching college football. It's such the pageantry, the electricity. You know, 80,000-100,000 people rooting on the team against a bitter rival. It's nothing better. I've only been to two or three college football games in my life, and they were probably some of the best sporting events I've ever been to. I mean, right down to last year, I think I said it last week, I went to, I think it was Louisville, Temple, and Rutgers, and it was such a great game, and just the fans were so electric. That's a small stadium. I can't imagine being at the Big House in Michigan or being at Nebraska, my favorite team, and being down there, you know, when they're battling Texas or Oklahoma back in the day. This time of year, I get so jacked up to watch the football games. It seems like they're on every night now, which, again, is a little overdone for me, but, you know, it is what it is. But there's nothing better than a Saturday morning. You get up, you watch College Game Day with Fowler and Corso and Herb Street and the guys. And I watch that till noon, and then it's, you know, 20 games. From then till you finish up at 1 o'clock in the morning with the Pac-10 games, and you just, you know, 10 weeks of, 12 weeks of that is just great. So I'll talk a little bit about the top 10 this year. I'm going to give you my five picks for the Heisman, including who I think is going to actually win it. And I want to talk a little bit about the playoff system. For those of you who aren't big college football fans, this year, for the first time ever, they're actually going to be a three-game playoff. There'll be two semifinals and then a final. Kind of drags out the season a little bit, but it gets you a little closer from there to the baseball season, to the Super Bowl. And I think it's – hopefully it'll decide the true champion, as opposed to some years where there's been some – controversy over who beat who. You know, the third best team in the country, really the better team than the first, but they lost earlier, they lost later. If you're a football fan, you know what I'm talking about. But we'll talk about the playoff system, how it works, and we'll do that a little later, probably right after we have our 10 minutes with Todd. So So that'll probably be about 7:15. In the meantime, we'll open the phones up shortly. I'll, you know, start tossing out some topics, some things that are on my mind from the last week or so. And I just want to remind everybody about the benefit show, September 20th at Bootleg Manning's, the Rock and Relief benefit for Lifestyles for the Disabled. Joe Gandis and his crew over at Rock and Relief are, as always, doing a top job, and they're having another benefit show for that organization. And that, again, is September 20th at Bootleg Manning's, 2645 Forest Avenue in Staten Island. Eight bands starting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Go out there and support the cause. My band, Dante's Inferno, will be playing at about 7:30. We'll be doing about 45 minutes, give or take. So I'm hoping that my family, my friends, everybody will come out and support the event. We always want to pack the place. We want to show them that Dante's Inferno brings the crowd. So I'm hoping that I'll see all of you out there for that. I'll mention this a few more times. I might even have Joe on again at some point just to talk about it. So, but in the meantime, I think let's get right into it. Let's go have some fun. Again, folks, phones are open. You want to call in? Call in. We'll talk about anything you want, whatever's on your mind. I'm going to throw some topics out. We'll start kibitzing a little bit here, and let's have a little fun. My first one is, and I know, again, I'm going back to the well on this one. Joe Torre. Last week, the Yankees retired Joe Torre's number, gave him a plaque out in Monument Park, did the whole ceremony. Beautiful job. All the players were out there. Great ceremony. I don't know if you got a chance to see it. You know what? My first thought was, you know, this is wrong. That you should not be retiring his jersey. Should not be, you know, again, different level. Well, you know, folks, I did a little research, and if you really, 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 really look at it, Joe Torre is a good a manager as any of those guys that are in there ahead of him. Stengel, Miller Huggins, and again, I hear my father's voice in my head. My father always says, ah, but look who we had, a team, you know, anybody could have managed that team. And I think maybe you're right. He's right. But I also say to myself, well, if that's the case, does Miller Huggins deserve to be in there? Does Joe McCarthy coached the 27 Yankees. So does he really deserve to be in there then? You know, if that is the argument we have, then we should take Joe McCarthy out. You know, just because you manage great players doesn't mean great things are going to happen. And I think when I look back at it, I look at how many wins he had. And, yes, most of his wins came with the Yankees. Yes, he didn't do great things with bad teams. But name me too many managers who won the World Series with bad teams. It just doesn't happen. So, yes, but I also look at that those Yankee teams and say, okay, name me the great players from those teams. And I can only come up with a couple, Jeter and Rivera. Other than that, he had a bunch of really good players, guys who had maybe better careers other places. I think he was able to kind of manipulate those players to get them to fly into his philosophy. So I want to go on the record and say I think it's he deserves that spot to me, not with the monuments, but to the left and with the retired jerseys and the special players, because again with the amount of wins, 4 World Series, 12 straight, or it was a 12 or 13 straight years in the playoffs in this modern era where people don't do that, I think it's quite an accomplishment. I think he did a great job. Again, is Joe Torre the greatest manager I've ever seen? No, but for what he did accomplish, I think it's deserving. So I got a couple calls backing up on the line, so I'm going to grab a couple calls. We can come back to that topic in a minute. Good evening, caller. You're on the air. How can I help you this evening?
Hey, Tommy. Nick Papagiorgio calling. How you doing?
Hey, Nick. How are you today, Nick? What's on your mind?
Good. Good. You know, I agree with what you said about Torre. You know, is he genius? No, but, you know, baseball genius? No, but I think with what he accomplished, I think it was right to recognize. But that's not why I'm calling.
Okay.
College football. You know, getting started this weekend. I'm a huge college football fan. I gotta tell you though, man, I don't know if we talked about it on the show. Rutgers this year, man, it's gonna be brutal, brutal, and for two reasons. Number one, man, I see I see Gary Nova still starting a quarterback. I feel like this guy's in like his sixth year of throwing into triple coverage, man. He's off. And the other problem is the coach, Flood, he just hasn't brought in the talent like he need to, especially in the Big Ten now. They're going to get roughed up real bad this year.
I can't agree more. I can't agree with you more. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to say I'm not a Rutgers fan in the sense that I've watched every bit of their games. What I have seen is I think he's a little overmatched for where they are right now. I think the thing for Rutgers is now being in the Big Ten, do they get to keep some of those recruits who usually go to Penn State or go to Syracuse or go to a bigger school because they don't want to play in the Big East, which is nothing anymore, and are you building for the future? But, yeah, I'm looking at their schedule, and I'm saying at best maybe 2 or 3 wins this year.
At Washington, at Howard,
it's a very tough season.
And I'll tell you, so that says almost definitely going to be a new coach next year. And, we'll see how they're going to bring Shiano back. I don't know, but I definitely think this is Flood's last year and that they're going to have somebody new to sort of bring up the talent level next year. But we'll see.
Well, there's two thoughts to that, though, Nick. Let me ask you this question.
Yeah,
going into this Big Ten thing that you're going to take your lumps. Do you keep Flood and build the program around him in this now with the thing of we're in the Big Ten, you're going to be on TV every week, we're going to build to the future? Or, I kind of agree with it, do you go ahead and go out there and get yourself a big-name coach to get even bigger star plays to stay and recruit and match up better in the Big Ten that way? What's the way to go?
Seems like a really nice guy who's been over his head. It's just not, not a Big Ten coach. If it was me, if I had the choice, I'd hire Shiano back. But I don't know whether he wants to come back. But if it's me, I got to bring in Shiano or a guy of that sort of status for the Big Ten. Because you're not playing Connecticut and Louisville anymore. You're playing Ohio State and Michigan, and it's a new ball game.
Yeah, I mean, look at 3 weeks in a row. You go Michigan, you're at home to Michigan, you're at Ohio State, you're at Nebraska, and then you come home to Wisconsin, and then the easy part of the schedule, Indiana. I mean, that's a brutal stretch for them.
That's brutal. That's brutal.
Yeah. I'm not sure who – I don't think if you and I coached it, we would win, but I think at this point – I think they're going to have to go out and either – I think the Seattle thing would have been a great thing had he not flopped the way he did in Tampa. If it was just a little bit of bad time, he got run out of there.
Yeah, I think and maybe Sean's one of those guys. Would he be the first college coach who failed in the NFL, then went back to, college and had success? Look at Nick Saban, he's terrible.
Saban, Spurrier. There's a bunch of guys some guys are just better suited for that element. Lou Holtz, there's a bunch of guys. I think Seattle, that is probably the right move, but I don't think they revisit. I think they're going to have to go out and get themselves a bigger name coach and do a better job of recruiting and keep the kids home. We'll see what happens, but I think it's going to be a tough season.
Yeah. All right, Tom, I got to run. Hey, love the show. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Okay, caller, that was a good one from Nick. All right, caller, you're on the air. How can we help you tonight on Hard Rocket Sports?
Tommy.
Yes.
Tom, Joe Ganzes.
Hey, Joe Ganzes. Well, thanks for calling in, Joe. How can I help you?
What are you doing? How's everything going? Good?
Everything's good, Joe. Everything's good. Yeah, it's another action-packed show. I got a bunch of callers on the line. Everybody's got their questions, and it's always good to hear from Joe Ganzes. What's on your mind tonight, Joe?
I want to talk about a position that I play, catcher. How they have this new rule for catcher. It's driving me crazy, Tom. It's driving me crazy that guys can't do what they want anymore, slide into home because of Posey. It just drives me crazy when you see a game and it's always got to be a call to play. When you have a runner running down third base full speed ahead, he's got to make a decision. Oh, wait, there's a new rule. I can't do this. I can't do that. And so it's got to come into his mind. I hate the rule, and I wanted to get your take on it.
Yeah, I talked about it a little bit last week, Joe, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I dislike it from a different perspective. I think as the catcher, you're making his life more difficult because now he's got to watch. I mean, there was a couple plays 2 weeks ago where the catcher literally had just his ankle in the base path, And in one of those games, they call the runner safe for blocking the play. And I think you're cheapening the game. I think you're making the game longer with more replays. And I'm sorry, you play professional sports. The element of getting hurt is there. And I'm sorry, I think it's making a mockery of the game, and making it soft. And I disagree with the rule, and I hope they change it.
But and I really think catches. I think because I know I did. I think catches. They want that collision in a way. You know, it's part of the game. Like when you start a footage, you're saying I'm a catcher. I know I'm going to get hit. It's part of the position. You know.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a mindset. Joe. It's an ego thing. You're a ball player. You're a catcher. Territory is yours. That's your territory, and you're going to do whatever you have to keep that guy from getting to that spot. And I think they're restricting the game. And I think, I think an ego as a catcher is, this is my area, and you want it, you've got to come through me to get it. And I think I think it's a big problem, and I hate the rule. So
yeah.
I hope they change it.
All right.
So
listen, I appreciate your time. I hope you have a good show, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
All right, that was Joe Ganzis checking in with his weekly question. Joe's got some good topics. I got to tell you, folks, I'm very lucky. I got a lot of good friends. And, the word's spreading about the show. Nick Papadopoulos is somebody I don't know and calling from the outside. And I hope you're all out there spreading the word about the show and letting everybody know we're out there. And, to me, it's a good time. And I'm enjoying it. I'm loving every second of it. And I'm glad everybody's calling in. So let's get back to what we were talking about earlier, Joe Torre. I want to go back and just finish my thought is, I know that most people are going to disagree with it. Again, maybe you feel like it's cheapening, but if you take a few minutes and you pay attention to what Joe Torre did, again, even if you just want to put his Yankee years up there, 12 straight, four of those World Series, he managed. You think about some of the people that were secondary citizens on those teams, Cecil Fielder, Doc Gooden, Darryl Strawberry, Tim Raines, Charlie Hayes, Wade Boggs. He managed those guys, and you never heard complaints. I remember the World Series, and Tino Martinez was a star of the 96 team, and come World Series time, he was benched. He didn't play a lot of those games. Cecil Fielder played first. Same thing with Wade Boggs. Wade Boggs got benched. When he scored that, I don't know if it was game 3 or 4, he walked in one of the runs, and he was a pinch hitter at that point because Charlie Hayes was playing third. So I think there's a lot to be said for Torre and how he managed and held those teams together and got all those guys to play to their potential and above without having had all the backbiting and the fighting. And, again, I agree a whole lot. So I don't like the system they have out there, but I agree Torre needed that. It's well within their right to retire his number and put him out in Monument Park. Again, there should be a separation between the people, but that's for another day. So that's my take on Joe Torre and that system. So, excuse me, folks, let me move on to my next topic, the New York Giants. New York football Giants, Big Blue. All right, folks, I don't know if you guys watched the game last week, it's the Jets, the whole Snoopy board. We talked about it prior to the game, so I'm not going to go back into the game. It was the Giants, folks, are, I think, in big trouble. Again, it could be false advertisement. Maybe we're not seeing everything that we should see, but watching last week, I'm perplexed at the fact that they look so lost on the passing game. I was talking to somebody during the week, and they were saying how maybe, they're tailoring. Instead of tailoring the offense based on Eli Manning's strengths, they're kind of forcing him to be something he's not, which is an accurate passer, which the West Coast offense relies on, short, quick, accurate passing. And I'm not sure that he is that. I got a call coming in. I think, folks, right now we have a live broadcast from the New York Giants football game from our senior NFL East correspondent, Lou Pica. Lou, are you at the game?
That's me. How are you, Tom? Well, enjoying the show.
Glad, Lou. Give me a second. I want to give you your proper due. Folks, on the phone now, I've hired Lou Pica to be our Sunday morning quarterback for the NFC East. Lou Ghost is a big Giant fan, and he's now the NFL correspondent for the Big East Giant football. So Lou's at the game tonight, and he's checking in from the sideline with a report. Lou, tell us what you're noticing now so far, Lou.
First of all, it's a little windy out here, as always. at the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
And
That's nothing new.
We're just looking for Eli to have a couple of good drives. I don't care if it's against the third string, fourth string. They got to get a little momentum going. It should be interesting to see which of these guys make the team. There's some battles at receiver and linebacker and running back. So I'm interested.
Well, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question, Lou. If you go out there tonight, do you think Eli plays more than one drive? I mean, typically this game, you're lucky if you get a drive out of your starters. Do you think he's going to go more than one drive?
I've been hearing that he's going to play about 10 or 15 plays. So if it's a quick three and out, he'll probably play another drive.
He might be in it for 10 or 12 plays. He might be in it for the half, Lou.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It might be three drives for 10 plays.
Yeah. So I know there's still some big spots open, but I have to tell you something, and I think you and I spoke this week about it, and I really want to get it on the air real fast. I know you're busy at the game. I was perplexed. Most of the cuts, it's very superficial there. They're basically free agent guys you never even hear of. But I was perplexed on the kicker one. You and I spoke about it. I still don't understand the kicker. Give me your thoughts on keeping Brown in lieu of McManus, and why do you think the Giants went and did that?
Well, I hope I'm wrong, but I would have kept a younger kicker. He's about 10 years younger, and he's cheaper, and he's got a big leg. Also, in an emergency, he could punt. At college at Temple, he averaged like 45 yards a punt, and he's got a strong leg. He was picked up immediately. They traded him to Denver because a few other teams were going to put claims in for him. The Eagles were going to claim him. So the Giants put it, they stopped the Eagles from claiming him and traded him to Denver. So they must know that they got something there, but we just wanted to go the safe route. But I'm thinking this could have been a kicker for the next 10 years. So
yeah, I was perplexed. I understood when they let the kid James go. I understood it. You know, they're deep in the secondary. He didn't exactly stand out. And most of the other guys, like I said, were either injury cuts, like Cooper Taylor. But I didn't get this one. I watched this kid. I've saw the stuff in the paper. I've talked to you. You saw him live. And again, Josh Brown, didn't establish himself to be this great kicker that your 35-year-old journeyman kicker, as opposed to a young kid with a young leg, and you save a few dollars. I didn't get it. But, those guys maybe are a little smarter than we are. Who knows? But, we'll see what happens. But I think it's a big game tonight. I hate to put the emphasis on a final preseason game, but I think the offense has to come out there and throw the ball on the field a little bit.
Right. They need to get a little momentum going into next week, at least for
the
first
unit
anyway.
Yeah, let me ask you this last question, Lou, before I let you go. Manningham, Corey Washington, which way are you going? If you're the Giants, are you going with the young kid? You trusting him?
I'm going with Corey Washington. He has potentially could, be a steal. And Manningham looks like he's on his last leg. He's not explosive. He's not cutting. So I keep the younger kid. But again, with Coughlin, you never know. If they cut that kid, he'll be picked up instantly.
I think they have no choice. I think I tell you the truth. I think the bigger question also when it comes to receivers is: are they going to keep Jernigan? Is there somebody else with their eye? I know Harris would have been a chance to make the team had he not gotten hurt. But I guess that means now they're going to keep Jernigan on the roster.
I think the other one comes down to Preston Parker or Holiday, who hasn't got on the field with an injury. So Preston Parker may end up being the punt returner instead of Trendon Holiday.
And the last one for me, Laura, before I let you go for sure. They're keeping two quarterbacks, or they're going to keep Painter and make it three? Because I think Nassim's got the two spot. Do they keep the third quarterback, or do they make the cut?
I'm thinking they're going to make the cut. They need, an extra linebacker or a DB with that third quarterback. It's massive, especially if he plays well tonight, then I think that'll pretty much cement it.
All right, Lou. You enjoy the game.
All
next
right.
Thursday, Lou.
All right, Tom.
Next Thursday, I'll continue
to the show.
All right, Lou. Next Thursday night is
next Thursday night. All right. Say hello to my man Carmine for me.
I'll pass it on there, Gumati. Have a good time at the game. And if anything happens, you, by all means, you can check in anytime you want.
All right, good.
All right, Lou. Have a good one.
See you later.
All right, folks. That was our senior NFC East Giant correspondent, Lou Pika, checking in live from MetLife Stadium. We spare no expense here, folks. We spare no expense. We're hiring people left and right. We're trying to bring the show to you. We're trying to give you more and more every week. I even got live remotes going right on from the games now. Folks, you just can't get this on the internet anywhere else. So stay around. We got it all covered. So let's get back to the Giants. So Lou and I going off about the Giants and some of the things, and we'll touch base. I think the biggest thing tonight is the Giants coming out there and showing us what they got. I think they have to, for their own sake, establish an offense. I think you can't go into week one with all the questions that they have. I mean, I love the running game, but, you know, another injury to Jeff Schwartz. Mosley was hurt. I don't know if he's playing tonight or not. You're asking John Jerry to fill a role tonight. You're asking Weston Richburg to play more tonight. The depth behind that is not big. I think there's a lot of big areas. I think that offense has got to stay on the field. Again, you're asking Eli Manning to stay out there, play against second, third stringers. What if he gets hurt? Folks, if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. That's football. But I think it's much more important to get him out there and get that offense with some sort of rhythm that they haven't had yet. And I'm not sure when they're going to have at this point. And you can't do it in practice. You know, they don't allow you to hit like they used to. You don't have the time in practice that you did for game situation. And I think this is the last dress rehearsal. And unfortunately, I think they're going to stay out there. Will they? I don't know. I honestly truly don't know if they will. So we have another caller. Let's pick him up. Caller, you're live and on the air. How can I help you? You're on the air. Hello? That caller, folks. Sorry. I don't know what happened, but we'll continue on. So I think the Giant offense is big, and I think even the defense has not looked up to par. I watched Geno Smith move up and down the field pretty much at will last week. They did a decent job on the running game. Again, a few big runs. I think that'll come together. I think once Beeson's back, when they pick their basic starting four up front, everybody's back and healthy, I think the defense will be fine. I'm not sure it'll be top five. I think it'll finish somewhere between 5 and 10. Last year they finished at 8, and I think the defensive backs are better this year. I still have not seen anything at all out of JPP. I know it's preseason, but you know what? At some point, you'd like to see them step up and step up and take over a game. Go out there, get second string guard tackle and whip them a few times. And I have not seen that explosiveness. Now, again, you don't see anything in the papers from anybody else, from any of the coaches, about how they're down on them. So maybe it's just me. Maybe it's eyes aren't seen. They're only playing 8-10 snaps a game. Maybe it's just not out there yet. But I just have to tell you, I have not been impressed with JPP at this point. So, I mean, as far as the Giants go, I think, like I said, I think the big thing's going in at this point. Who are going to be the five receivers? Especially the number three guy. Because right now it's Cruz and Randall. Randall has not been, neither one have been impressive, but you get a little history. So who's the third guy? Do they keep Washington? When do we see Odell Beckham? Who knows? They're opening up in Detroit a week from Monday. And I think at this point, can they keep up with that team is going to be a big thing. I mean, I think even at their best, if you held that team to 21 points, I think they're going to be hard-pressed to keep up with those kind of teams and the passing that they have. And there's a lot of receivers out there, and I think you've got to figure a score 24, 28 points a game to be in this league at this point. So I see Todd's on the line. I'm going to pick up one more caller, then I'll pick up Todd, and we'll do our 10 minutes with Todd. But let me grab one more phone caller before I do. Welcome to Hard Rocket Sports. You're on the air. How can I help you?
Hello, everybody.
Okay. How can I help you?
Hello.
Yep, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, everybody.
Okay, we'll give you one more try. Go ahead.
Mr. Filthy famous on all the social networks.
All right, I gave you the boost because you're not coming through. So, Cole, I'll give you one more try at it. You there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Please go ahead. What's your question?
Hello?
All right, I'm cutting you off. Thanks for calling. All right, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, we're going to have our weekly segment. All right, welcome to the air, to our regular senior correspondent, Todd Ricker, in with his next segment of 10 Minutes with Todd. Todd, how
hey,
you doing?
Tommy. Good, Tommy. How are you?
Good, man. How's your week?
Good, good. Thanks for having me. I don't know, that last call is going to be a tough act to follow, so I got to make sure I have my A game, huh?
Yeah, I think you can come with your C game and you top that easy, Todd, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure you can go anywhere bad with that one. So let's see what we got. What's on your mind this week, Todd? What's on your mind?
I'm just calling in, you know, talking about the state of the NFL and what some things that are kind of discouraging and things I'm concerned about, and how painful it's going to be to watch games with half of these flags they're throwing all over the field for. I think there's a new flag for playing defense. I believe it's a 15-yard penalty.
Well, I think they're trying to make it. Which one is it where I think it's frisbee football. When the guy catches the ball, you have to stop. And also flag football. You're not allowed to block. You're not allowed to hit. So I think they're trying to take it into the flag football realm at this point.
It's painful to watch. You can't play defense. There is a flag every play. It stops the action. I mean, Goodell's just trying to play it to the casual fan. He doesn't care what product he puts on the field for fans that, you know, can watch a 10-13 game and be like, wow, that was a great game, you know. The casual fan is into fantasy football now, so they want to see touchdowns. They want to see all this, and he's trying to give them what they want, and unfortunately he's hurting the product. I think football's peaked as far as the popularity goes, and they have fantasy football to thank for that because it brought in fans that typically wouldn't care, but it's just all these rules and all this is just absolutely killing the game.
Right, but now if you're looking from the NFL point of view now, would football be as popular as it is today without that increase from fantasy football? You know, so if you're the owners of football, your stadiums are packed, you got, you know, all these different outlets want to put the games on TV. Sundays are even bigger now than it used to be. They're making, you know, millions and billions of dollars. So I agree. I happen to agree with you. But looking from the ownership standpoint, football's never been stronger in their eyes.
Absolutely. From a business perspective, it's great for them. It absolutely
right.
is. But unfortunately, it's really damaging the product. But the one funny thing that I figured out and I noticed the other day, do you remember the last time they tried to implement these rules for, like, press coverage and things like that? It was about 15 years ago, maybe. Do you remember when they did this?
Yeah.
Remember why?
Sure. I don't remember why, so tell me again.
Peyton Manning could not get through the New England Patriots to get to the Super Bowl. He lost, like, three times to them in a row in the playoffs, and all New England was doing was just beating his wide receivers down the field and wouldn't let him go. So they implemented that. Now, I just find it funny that the next time they decide to implement it is after a Super Bowl that he lost and his receivers got beat up and down the field.
Well, again, I think there's always a movement in the NFL to protect, and I'll say protect, their star players and then showcase their star players. So in the NFL's eyes, what do the fans want to see? Do they want to see two quarterbacks shut down Peyton Manning and keep him from you know, 150 yards and getting to less than 150 yards a game? Or does they, again, what I think they're geared to, the casual fan who wants to turn up and see 500 yards passing and, like, it's Coleco Bowl. You know, again, you and I as purists, I love the game of football, and I love the defensive end of the defensive part of it, and I want to see those games where, you know, the defense is dominating, and you're just not having that anymore. The NFL doesn't want that, and I agree with you. They're tailoring this to keep it wide open, to keep Manning and Brady, you know, firing 300-400 yards a game.
Yeah, I just really hope they pull it back once the regular season starts. And I mean, what do we say about every time someone watches it? Like, you watch a great game, you're always saying, you know what, the refs let them play. And that's always what people say when they watch a great game and they enjoyed it. When you have these penalties, you're going to turn it into basketball where you can't drive down the lane and it's so subjective that they could blow a whistle on anything. And now the referees and the umpires are determining the outcome of a game based upon subjective calls that, you know, shouldn't typically fly.
I agree. And I said it last week that, you know, preseason games are tough enough to watch as it is. Now you made it even worse because there's flags every play. Now, I did read that they basically did it to make their point, and they've made it null to the referees to kind of back off of that. I don't understand that logic. I got to be honest with you. I think you call a game the way you call a game, the way you – just like the players have to play, the referees should be refereeing as they will be in the season. So, and I disagree with that with that thought.
I can't wait till Goodell's out of office. That's all I'm praying for. His arrogance is getting out of control, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hopefully the season itself is a little easier to watch, a little less penalties. They would actually let them play out there, and we could see some good football.
Yeah, I think I'm excited as always for the big football season. I think you should be excited. I think your team in Philadelphia, the Squiggles, I think they may be the best team in the NFC, let alone the NFC East. I think they may be the best team in the NFC right now. They may be my pick for the Super Bowl when we talk next week about it.
Oof. Their defense has a little way to go. Their offense is definitely going to put up some points, but it's a matter of, A, does their defense have the talent to keep up with that, and B, can they take the amount of snaps that their offense is going to make them play? DeMeco Ryans is a 30-year-old linebacker who had to play the most snaps out of any linebacker in the NFL last year.
I agree, but if you go up and down the NFC, who else has a defense? Let's put it this way, the only team with a real number one defense is Seattle, and nobody's repeated over the last dozen years. Nobody's, you know, been that defense 2 years in a row, been that team 2 years in a row. So, you know, really, it goes back to your original comment. I think it's now who's got the best offense. I'm not saying they can win the Super Bowl. I think, you know, Seattle's proved that you still got to have a defense and you still got to run the ball to win the Super Bowl. But to get to the Super Bowl, I think it's, you know, who's the fastest team out there, who's scoring the most points. And I think in the NFC, you guys are going to be hard-pressed to beat.
The best fantasy advice I can give anyone is draft wide receivers because they are going to put up a lot of points this year.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I think you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with wide receivers. You know, in the old days, you were grabbing running backs first round. Now you're grabbing running backs in the fourth and fifth round. You want your receivers and quarterbacks. So, but you know, again, back to the penalties. I hope week one we're out there and it's a regular football game. And you know, I almost hope at some point they go back to letting them play. I mean, did you see there was a hit this week on Walker? Did you see the hit?
Got his shoulder down. He kept his head out of the play. Walker he ducks every time he catches the ball. You go over the middle, you're 5'7", and you're going to duck. Guess what's going to get hit?
I think that's my point to the whole thing, Todd, is that, you know, the minute you duck, I don't care where you get hit. You know, if you're going to duck and you get hit helmet to helmet, head, shoulder to helmet, all bets are off. I'm sorry, and I think he's famous for it. I'm a Walker fan. But that's, to me, right there, that's what's wrong with football from my perspective, is I want those hits. If you want to go over the middle, you're going to earn it. And, you know, to go out there after that and hand a guy 15 more yards for basically doing his job, I think it's ridiculous. And that's my biggest problem, is that kind of hit.
And it's crazy because they start I've listened to these conversations that they have that parents won't let kids play football because it's a violent sport, and they act like this is a new conversation. I remember when I was a kid, people didn't let kids play because it was violent, but Goodell's making this big point of it, and it is what it is. You know, I guess you kind of got to adapt to it. These people know what they're signing up for when they get in the NFL, and you know what? They wouldn't trade it for anything. They know
absolutely,
they're risking their health and...
Hey, you know what, Todd, and I'm a big Boomer Cotton fan, and Boomer Esiason always has, he gets under my skin with one thing. He's always talking about, well, they, you know, they're saving the players that are out there, they're risking their career, you know, they only get to play 3 or 4 years, but you know what, 3 or 4 years at an average at that salary is better than most people make in their entire career outside of football or baseball or whatever. you know what? You play football, and you sign up for that. You know what's coming, and the good of it is you get to make the money, you get the fame, everything that goes with it. The bad part of it is you could get hurt and be done. And I'm sorry, I don't have any – then I say don't play the game. If you're afraid of getting hurt and you can't do it, don't play the game. There's about 100 other guys
behind you
can
do out there.
There's
other things you can do.
Absolutely.
You can play other sports. You don't have to play in the NFL. No one's putting a gun in your head. So, but Goodell just has to understand that.
And so. I think from their point of view, it's strictly a litigious thing. It's the lawsuits. You know, they opened up the door with the whole concussion settlement, and now they're afraid of what's running through. So they're doing everything they can to say, hey, we're trying to make the game better and help people. And it's carried over to other sports. Look at baseball. We talked about it last week, you and I. You know, the block and the play rule for a catcher. You're a catcher in baseball. There's two things you're gonna know is going to happen. You're going to get hit with a foul ball, and somebody's going to run over you at some point. Don't play the position. You know, go be a DH, learn to play first. I don't like the way, you know, but it's strictly from a legal standpoint now, and that's the major problem I'm having with sports now, is it's not based on the good of the game. It's on let's keep the money in our pocket and not get sued. Hey, sign a waiver, go play the game, take your lumps.
You figure they have good enough lawyers, they can put it in all the contracts that you're playing this game at your own risk, and you accept the risk and liabilities that come with it. But
yeah,
I guess we're thinking too much about it.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? The season will start, and we'll watch every game, and we'll enjoy every bit of it, and we'll be disappointed come February, and when the season's over, and we'll look forward to next year again. You know, it's the stuff wrong that it always has been. There always will be, and you still love the game, you enjoy it, but you're right. I think in the end, between the flags and the ridiculous calls, I think the sport is watered down, but it's not meant for you and I anymore. Today they're going after the people. They're going after all the other people out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's
my time's running out, so I just want to do my Bonehead of the Week award.
Go ahead.
You're going to be surprised, because I like the guy, and I think he's a great coach, but you got to give it to Jeff Fisher.
Really?
You can't go into the season with Sam Bradford as your quarterback and no plan B. Sam Bradford hurts himself eating breakfast, and you're going in with all your hopes pegged on him. They didn't draft a quarterback. This would have been a great opportunity to draft Aaron Murray out of Georgia in the fourth round. You know, give him a year to figure it out, and then this way next year you're not starting over from scratch, because who knows who they're going to be able to get next year, and if they're going to have to start over from scratch. They went into the season with no plan, no backup plan. Sean Hill's their backup plan. There's no developmental quarterback on the roster. They're doomed now, and he's got all the talent in the world under 25 years old. That team is poised to make a huge run, but you can't do it without a quarterback.
Well, that's the problem. I think that defense is set up to be maybe this year's best defense, and unfortunately they've got nobody to throw the ball, and I think, you know, the only thing they can be hanging their hat on is if somebody gets cut. But, again, back to the point of, you know, old days, you had two guys on your roster. There was always a Jeff Rutledge or a Jeff Hostetler, you know, or a Danny White on your roster, where nowadays teams don't pay for a second-string quarterback. You know, I tell you what, that's a team that might have to go after somebody that's hanging around the roster. And I tell you what, the kid I like, and nobody talks about, the kid I like is Matt Sims. I think Matt Sims is a hell of a quarterback. I think if that kid ever gets an opportunity to play, I think that kid could be a good quarterback in this league. Again, needs a lot of work, but right now, give me another quarterback that's sitting around that you could go get that would be better than that.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher's going to be signing David Garrard pretty soon.
You'll take a page right out of the Jet playbook on that one. Tim Tebow's sitting home too, don't forget.
That's true. Yeah. All right, Tommy, thanks for the time.
Todd, thank you. We appreciate it, everybody. That's Todd Ricker calling in with his 10 minutes with Todd and his Bonehead of the Week. Thanks, brother. We always enjoy Todd being on the air with us. He does a great job. Again, that's what you heard there, folks, is any family get together. That's what you hear. Me and Todd in the corner doing that, annoying the hell out of our wives and aunts and uncles and everybody else. So I got another call. This is the same call from Paul. I'm just curious. I got to see what it says. Corey, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How are you tonight, T-Bone?
All right, Giuseppe. Nice of you to pick up the phone and answer. If we were giving you one last try. What's on your mind this week? And,
nothing.
Before you go, I want to tell you, I got an email this week, and you have a big following out there on the show. Everybody knows Giuseppe from Staten Island. But there was a couple complaints through the emails about your vulgarity last week. So we're going to ask you to clean up the language and keep it nice and sweet for the air. So, but go ahead now and give me what's on your mind.
Now, for Christ's sake. All right. Well, first of all, fifth time caller, long time listener.
Go ahead. We appreciate you having me on the air.
I had a question. What do you think about these college players who are penalized or whatnot for accepting gifts and gratuities, like being groomed for different colleges or stuff like that? Don't you think that somebody with exceptional talent deserves, you know, I mean, any great college player that's going to make it, what's the problem with accepting some kind of gift or gratuity to go play for Michigan or Nebraska or anything like that? What's the big deal about somebody accepting a jacket or a dinner pass or anything like that? Can you give me a comment on that?
Yeah, I can. And you know, Giuseppe, and part of me always says that, you know, here's a bunch of players. They make the university a lot of money. Are they deserving of some sort of compensation? But I think what happens is when you take it to that extent of, you know, guys trading in their trophies and their hardware for tattoos and, you know, accepting gifts, it always leads to the element of the chance of something being done and hurting the game. And what I mean by that is, you know, guy accepts a jacket, next, you know, guys that get a, who gets a car, all right, well, I got your car. You know, maybe next week's game, could you do me the favor? Not score four touchdowns, only score three touchdowns. You know, it lends itself to that. And I think you have to police it to a certain extent and not give them a chance of to be thought of any impropriety. When you're dealing with, you know, just the major colleges, 103 teams in the NCAA, but if you now count NCAA, NCAA, all that stuff, when you deal with that, all those thousands and thousands of players, there's always that chance that there's one guy accepting something to do something that's not necessarily on the up and up. And
you think that accepting that might lead to a point shave or whatever?
Just the thought of an impropriety can wreck a season. I mean, you know, we've had guys give back their Heisman trophies. Reggie Bush, you know, accepted a couple of gifts and he wound up having to give back his Heisman trophy. It's just, you know, again, it's just lends it to smell funny. And you don't, anything that would lead to that, you kind of got to put a kibosh. Do I think those guys should be paid for what they do? Absolutely. I think there should be something to them, whether it's, you know, sales of their jerseys. You know, those guys bring in billions of dollars to the industry, and I think they should be compensated for it. How they do that, I don't know. But for the same token, they're getting free education. They're getting a chance to showcase themselves for the NFL to make millions of dollars, you know, endorsement. You know, I'm caught in the middle. But in the end, I do think that if an athlete brings a dollar in, he should benefit in some way on top, whether it's some sort of a trust fund. There's got to be a way to get them some money. Whether it'll ever happen, I don't know. But I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I concur. I mean, I don't know how I was going to be able to get through the rest of the week. Now I can sleep much better knowing that I've heard your opinion on this topic. One more ding. You rocked it.
We gave you the boo for being a wife.
Yeah, I got the raspberry. Listen, you rocked on Strutter last night. Keep it going, dude. You sound really good, man.
Thank you, Giuseppe.
You stay frosty, Burbank.
Giuseppe, thank you for checking in. Thank you very much. Have a good one. Giuseppe from Staten Island checking in, as always. An interesting caller and a big listener to the show and a five-time caller. The guy calls in every week. Just to remind everybody again, come out on September 20th to Bootleg Manning's and see Giuseppe's band, Dante's Inferno, perform for Lifestyles of the Disabled. Again, 2645 Forest Avenue, September 20th. I'm hoping I got my family, my friends, all the people that matter to me, I'm hoping you're all out there supporting the cause that night. And let's show them that we rock. All right, so I'm holding you all to get your butts out there. It's 7:30. It's early. We can do a dinner before, dinner after. But I'm expecting to see my friends and family out there to support me and my band and the cause itself. So just another reminder. Take a second break here to give you, I got one live commercial this week. Ladies and gentlemen, owner John Panino's Parisian Studios is the cathedral of Staten Island's music scene. Open 30 years, any musician, band who have powered up an amp or a PA have been inside his hallowed halls. Playing there is a rite of passage that every father and son or daughter should experience. Located at 139 Bay Street in the Rosebank section of Staten Island, Parisian has three rooms with its own unique sounds. Having added more music for your equipment repairs, music lessons, and sales and purchase of equipment, you have a one-stop shopping. Again, I'm a little partial to Cobra Sun, but we got to throw a little shout to John Panino and the people over at Mode Music Parisian Studio. So if you get a chance, give John a call. John's the man. I've been going in and out of that place since the early 80s, and it's definitely a place that should be a museum someday. Let's put it that way. All right, we got another call. Yeah, a lot of calls tonight, folks. It's an action-packed show. Still got about 40 minutes left on the dial. Let me pick to see who this is. Good evening, caller. Welcome to Hard Rocket Sports. How can I help you?
Hey, Tom?
Yes. Oh. Hey, Dad.
Hey, what's up? How are you? Your show's very good as usual.
Okay, Pop, what's up?
I hate to say this, but I have to agree with Mr. Todd wholeheartedly what he was talking about with the NFL. Today, it's like baseball. They don't want defense. They want offense. So now they're making it that you can't even touch the receivers. If you even look at them the wrong way, they throw a penalty down because the average person that watches football, he wants to see a high-scoring game. They don't want to see defense. They don't like to see that. Plus, they're marketing these quarterbacks today like they were Hollywood movies. Years ago, the first one like that was really Joe Namath. But at least he was able to play. And they got him on the field, and they would beat him up on the field because of all the stuff that was going on. But today, you can't touch a quarterback. They ought to put skirts on them because it's a shame. But if you look at the quarterback the wrong way, they throw a flag. Mm-hmm. And I understand you spend a lot of money, but that's the idea of playing sports.
Well, let me ask you this, Dad. No matter what the product is out there, you're going to watch it every week, right? You're a football fan your whole life. So regardless of how they're playing it, you're going to watch it every week, right?
I will, yes. But a lot of people that really don't know football or don't know sport will sit down and they'll have little parties and they'll have their whatever they eat, and they like that.
Well, that's my point. My point is they know no matter what product out there, you, me, Todd, the football fan, the purists, the people who are watching it since, the 60s and 70s, you're going to watch it anyway. What they're doing now is they're dragging in the young crowd. They're dragging in the people who aren't necessarily football fans, and they're making the game so they'll watch it. So now they've got us already because we love football. So now we know no matter what they do, that we're going to go there Sunday morning, we're going to watch the Giants, we're going to watch the Jets. They're trying to get those other people in, and they're saying, well, if we go back to the old days of, running the football, playing great defense, which I love, which you love, they're gonna keep us, but they're gonna lose all these kids who watch it because of fantasy football, and that's what they're after. And they know no matter what happens, they got us. So they're not putting it out there for me and you. They're putting it out for my son, my stepdaughter. Those are the people they're after.
Yeah, but eventually they're gonna wind up watering down the game so bad that it's going to be like, if you tackle a guy, they're going to throw a flag down because you tackled him above the ankles, is what I'm trying to say. There's no more to game. I mean, you watch games, and Ray Nitschke used to make tackles, and they would show you close up in the tackle. He was biting a guy's leg. He was biting his ankles. I mean, It
was great.
You can't play your sport without getting hurt.
I mean, how tough are those guys, Dad? Deacon Jones, Merlin Olsen, Rosie Greer. I mean, they were great football players, but they slapped me in the head, and that was part of the game.
Well, that was the problem. It was part of the game, but today the people don't want to see that. Right away, oh, it's too physical. Too many people getting hurt. Well, then don't play football. Play flag football if you want to play
exactly
like that.
Exactly right.
What they're putting out on the field is garbage.
I couldn't agree with you more. I am not a fan of it. But having said it, every Sunday I'm going to be watching the Giants, and I'm going to look forward to watching all the games because I'm a football fan. But you're right. It's not made for me and you anymore. But we're still going to watch it anyway.
Of course, you're going to hope to get a good game. All right, Tom, lots of luck. Good luck to you, and I'm enjoying your program.
Thanks, Dad. Appreciate you calling in as usual.
Okie doke.
Well, everybody, that's my dad. Soon to be I'll have to give him a spot on the show full time because he calls every week with great questions and comments. And I love hearing this. These are conversations we have all the time, which is the reason for the show. Calls and conversations like that, we have them all the time. So, wow, we're down to the last 33 minutes this week, folks. I think our show this week is down to only a 90-minute show as opposed to 2 hours. The network, Blog Talk Radio, only allowed me 90 minutes this week of call up time instead of my usual 2 hours. So we're going to speed it up a little bit here. Not much to talk about with the Jets. I thought Geno Smith played well last week in the football game. I have to say I like both those backs. I still don't think Chris Ivory is a leading man, but I think in that offense where maybe he's not asked to be a 25-carry back, he's more of a, he'll split time with Chris Ivory, Bilal Powell. I think he could be effective. I think if you give him to him maybe 15 times, you give him a 15-touch, 20-touch at most, I think you can keep him healthy, and you may get a good season out of him. But Geno Smith, I thought, played better than he had last year. Does that relate to the season? I really don't know. The defensive line and the defense itself, I thought it was a little shaky last week. And that's, to me, I know the Jets have been crowing all week, but the Giants ran the ball pretty well against the first string. That drive again at the half, going to the half, was against their first-string defense. I think there's some cause for concern there. I think, sometimes you can start to believe your own hype. And, while I think that front four is a good one, Copels and Richardson, and, they know they got Babin and Wilkerson. I still think their linebackers are okay. Pace, Harris, DeMario Davis, good. I don't think it's great. I think it's covered up by the front four a little bit. But I'm sorry, folks. I think at this point, they may be calling me to play secondary right now. They have no corners. Patterson, I don't know what happened with Patterson this week. Milner's out at least. They're hoping maybe game one, but probably game two. That's a depleted secondary, folks, and I think the Jets are going to struggle defensively. Maybe the first game, they're playing Oakland, but after that, and we'll go through it more next week when I have Todd and Lou and a bunch of guys on talking about the NFL. I think, games two through eight or seven, they're facing a who's who of quarterbacks, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Stafford, Rodgers. There's just an endless list of quarterbacks. And, I know they've got a great front four, but, they're not necessarily a team that's going to put up a lot of sacks. So I think that team's in a little bit of trouble. Defensively, I'm still questioning that. Let's talk real quick about college football. That was my main topic tonight, so I want to spend about 10 minutes just going through the college football. I know not everybody else out there is a college football fan, but like I told you earlier in the show, I'm excited. Again, if you guys want to call in, 347-826-9934 is your direct access to the Hard Rocket Sports Show, broadcasting live from Romero Court Studios in Monroe, New Jersey. A beautiful day, but again, college football. Jameis Winston won the Heisman last year. He was clearly probably the best player in the league in the country at that point. I think when a player wins the Heisman as a freshman, I think we saw it with Manziel, the focus is lost a little bit. You always start thinking about the NFL. You know, we've seen a couple of, you know, we had the sexual misconduct from 2012, already a question mark. And then this year, the gentleman walks out of a restaurant or a deli with crab legs and nearly gets arrested. I think that Florida State and Jameis Winston takes a step back this year. So I know a lot of people are picking them to be number one. They'll be top four. And they may make it to the playoff system, but I don't think they'll be as good. You know, I think again, and being in the ACC, I don't think it's as tough a division or a conference, you know, as some of the other ones. But you know, they're going to get their due for most people. I just don't put them in that category yet. I think they're top five, but I think they could lose a game early. And you'd rather lose a game earlier than late, but I still think that keeps them out of the playoff system. I think you still got to put Oregon, you still got to go Alabama. Auburn's got some issues with Marshall. They're talking about sitting in the first game. Maybe it's for a quarter, maybe it's for a half. You know, I think they have their own issues over there. I think any of those teams could be finish anywhere. You still have to like Alabama. Until they get knocked off and knocked out of the top 10 every year, that to me is a team that could win it. And again, like this year's playoff system, I think is an equalizer for them. I think that's the best thing they could have, not necessarily having to be the number one team or number two team in the country. They could be in the top four, and again, we'll talk about that in a minute, and then be in the spot to go ahead and nail it down and play for the national championship game. And again, folks, I love the playoff system. If you're a college football fan, you couldn't ask for anything better. You know, again, they'll have kind of like the BCS system. You know, they'll have a voting about 13 people. I don't know everybody in the committee. I know Archie Manning, Tom Osborne, the former coach at Nebraska. There's a writer from USA Today Sports writer. And the crazy one I can't figure out is former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is on that committee, as well as these other notables in sports. And I just don't know the tie-in between Condoleezza Rice and college football and being on this committee. But they're basically starting October 28th, they'll put out a list of the top, I guess, 10 teams at that point, the top 25. And basically, the top four teams at the end of the season, they play a two-game system, and whoever wins, wins. And, it's still a little bit of a subjective thing. You got a bunch of people vote. I know that if, let's say, you have an affiliation to Alabama, you're not allowed or you're recused from anything to do with Alabama, so that way you're not voting prejudiced. You know, I find it hard to believe that Tom Osborne or Archie Manning wouldn't be a little more influenced by their respective teams, although I don't think either Ole Miss or Nebraska will be a team that'll be in that talk this year. I think my Nebraska Cornhuskers are a couple years away. I do like their quarterback, Tommy Armstrong, and I'm glad that Martinez is gone and all that. But anyway, let's say I'm happy about the playoff system. I think it's great for college football. I think it'll be even more exciting. I would like to see them expand it in years to come. I don't think they will. I think they would begrudgingly made this change now to get to this playoff system. I don't think they'll come off of that anymore. But again, the national championship game will be held on January 12th at the AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. And it's put together by a bid. And semifinals for that will take place on New Year's Day, hosted by the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl. So the four teams will play in those two games. The winners will then play in the championship game on January 12th in Arlington, Texas. I guess that's at Cowboy Stadium. And I don't know if that's the site every year or if they'll move it around. I think it gets moved around. I think it's on like a bidding, kind of like how they do the Super Bowl and the Olympics. You kind of put a bid in, and I guess money counts. And now they get moved around, I guess, to dome stadiums and, you know, places where it's weather won't be a factor. I've never, you know, those games are usually played places where the weather is never a factor, other than maybe rain. So, but, you know, if you're, and the last part of this topic, I want to get up to the total music this week. I got about 25 minutes left. So, if there's anybody else out there want to call in, again, 347-826-9934 to be part of the Hard Rocket Sports Show. It's been action-packed tonight. I've had all my recurring callers. Everybody's had some good comments. 10 minutes with Todd went good. My man Lou's out there at MetLife Stadium, enjoying the final Giants preseason game. And hopefully Todd and Lou and a couple other special guests on next week to talk about football. You know, we're going to concentrate on the NFC East, but we'll touch. I'd like to touch base on the whole league as well. I got a couple of special guests maybe coming on to talk about their teams and give me a little update on what they think their team will do in the division they're in. I happen to have a lot of friends who are big East NFC East fans. I have a buddy, Matt, who's a big Cowboy fan. They're horrendous. I want to get him on. And like I said, Todd's an Eagle fan. So that'll be next week's show. It'll be strictly a NFL football. We might do very little music next week. At some point, probably next week, I will announce my first celebrity guest. Big negotiations here at Hard Rocket Sports, and we've tentatively announced. We're going to tentatively announce the first celebrity guest from the glam metal days. I have my first guest. I'm not ready to announce that he's not only a lead singer for a well-known heavy metal band, he's a producer, has his own metal website, and he happens to be a diehard football fan, and so much so that he has created a niche that I find amazing and funny and very entertaining. And I'm not ready to announce it yet. I haven't picked a date. We haven't finalized a date for him to come on, but he's been gracious enough to agree to come on and be that first guy that I get to interview beside my friends and family. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's a big boost for the show. And he couldn't be a nicer guy. And I'll probably announce that next week once I finish the negotiation and I lock him up. So be on the lookout for that probably week two of the NFL season. His team plays a local team. And I think it would be a great spot to have them come on and talk about it. So let's get on to the music scene just a little bit this week. We talked about the Ace Frehley stuff last week. I just want to tell you, I bought, and I so I'll say goodbye to some of my fans. I know people who don't want to talk the music end, but I got to do it a little bit. I bought the new Accept album, Blind Rage. And I have to tell you, folks, I've been touting the old stuff, I want to say old stuff, Stalingrad and Blood of the Nations that came out the last 5 years, and I have to tell you how great those albums are, and this one picks up right where it left off. If you get a chance to listen to it, buy it, Stampede, Dying Breed, Dark Side of My Heart, great, great tunes. Metal to the 80s metal to the max. I'm telling you, folks, if you get a chance to buy this CD, download it, whatever way. Again, I'm a big go out and buy the CD. I went to Vintage Vinyl last week, bought me 3 or 4 CDs. You can't go wrong. Those guys sound great. Mark Tanillo, I think, takes what Udo did and took it to another level. So I'm telling you, you got a minute, go out there and get it. I already promoted Striper and Ace's album. Ace's album is fantastic, guys. You got to go out and listen to it. You know, it's not top to bottom. You know, not every song is an award winner, but it's 4 or 5 really good tunes on that album. Don't listen to The Joker again. It's horrendous. A couple things I noticed in the paper, in the websites this week. And again, guys, the phone lines are open, 347-826-9934. And even though I'm talking my love of music, by all means, you're more than welcome to call in about sports. You know, the lines are still open. The Scorpions announced, and guys, the Scorpions are about to celebrate 50 years. 50 years. That's older than me. The Scorpions are now 50 years in the business, and they're about to do a new album and a tour. Guys, if you're going to ever see the Scorpions, see it now, because those guys are getting old. I mean, I'm, you know, they're still young at heart. Don't get me wrong, but You know, they're 75. I think they've got to be 75 years old at this point. You know, running right out there in the spandex, and, you know, they still play good. Don't get me wrong. I touted the Unplugged from a couple years ago, and they still sound great. Rudy Shanker looks a little crypt keeperish, but, again, still playing great. Kyle Smyth still sounds good. Get a chance. That's something I think everybody should get out there and see. You know, Skid Row. I know there's some stuff going on with Phil Verone and the guy and Snake Sabo and Rachel Bolin. And, you know, I don't get it all. I know that there's been some stuff said back and forth that I could care less. But the only thing about Skid Row I can't figure out is in this age where guys can't sell 30 albums, 30 CDs, why they can't put it together with Sebastian Bach and get out there and do a couple tours. I know they just played the Starland Ballroom. You know, was that 1,000 people? I don't know what they get in the Starland nowadays. But I can't for the life of me figure out how these guys, when it's so difficult and you're so underground now, Damon and Sebastian can talk about, you know, how he's doing great. Again, same thing, playing clubs. You put the two of them together. Not that you're playing arenas. Not that you're playing stadiums. But you're going to get a better class of gigs. You know, you might get on a tour with, you know, do something like Kiss is doing with Def Leppard. You know, I think there would be such an excitement in the fan base to see that reunion and that and those shows. You know, it's got to line a few pockets. Now, maybe they don't need the money, but if you're out there and you're beating the streets and you're playing in front of 300, 400, 500 people, you know, to me, folks, that's, and you can go out there and play in front of 5,000, 10,000. I'm sorry. You've got to do what you got to do. For the life of me, can't figure out what the beef is there and how much they hate each other. They can't put that together and do something. I don't get it. But, I'll go back. I like the EP. I think it's, the music's good. I think they're showing up their solid side, their heavy metal side. I think they've gotten away from the commercial end of the business as far as their music goes. And if you got the opportunity to listen to the new Skid Row stuff, it's great. But I would absolutely love to hear them out there with Sebastian. And I'm not a Sebastian Bach fan. I think the guy's a moron. I'll say it on the airs. He may never hear this, but I think he's probably a moron. But I think that would be huge to get them out there together. So, but, you know, will that ever happen? I tend to doubt it. Some new stuff I saw. I was kicking around online on MetalSludge.tv and Kix. Maybe you're wondering, Kix? Kix is still out there? Kix is still out there. And I heard that they have a new album. I haven't heard the whole album, but I did hear a single off it called Love Me With Your Top Down. And I know it's the same old cliche band stuff, but it really sounded great. And I know there's four of the five guys. I think everybody's back except the bass player. Everybody else is back. And at the top of my head, it's not ringing who's playing bass for the band. But I'm excited to go by my next visit to Vintage Vinyl to get the new Kix. That song is fantastic. I loved it. And, again, I was never a huge Kix fan, but I'm always out there trying to find, you know, new stuff from old bands. And I think it's fantastic that they're out there still playing. And I keep telling everybody, while they're all still doing this, guys, get out there and see them, because one of these days they ain't going to be doing this anymore, and you're going to go, wow, I wish I got to see it. So do yourselves a favor and get out and see those bands. Let's see, what else I got on my list of Twisted Sister playing with Adrenaline Mob at Best Buy Theater in New York City on September 5th. That might be a good – I thought I saw that Twisted Sister drummer A.J. Perro was playing in Adrenaline Mob. So I'm curious if he's pulling double duty or if he's been replaced in one band or the other. I couldn't find anything on the internet, and maybe it's not on anybody else's thought process. It's just mine. But I had saw that he was – and I'm almost positive that he had joined Adrenaline Mob for a while. And I'm just curious to see if it's something he's doing, kind of a gimmick thing where he's playing both bands, or if he's only playing with Sister or the other one. So I'm just curious. The other one I thought was an interesting one is Jackal and Trickster. I'm not a big Trickster fan, but I do like Jackal. I think Jackal's been unfairly – placed in that area of being a hair metal band because they came out at that time. But to me, folks, Jackal's far, far from a hair metal band. You know, those were guys with jeans and T-shirts and, you know, kind of a southern rockish metal, which I love love the just great band. I was never a big Jackal fan of the day, but I am now. Love their stuff, and I ask you, please get out there and support that band. That might be a good show. Bergen Performing Arts Center. So try to get out there and see that one. I might get out there to see that one. So it's a little close to my birthdays, but maybe I'll try to get that show in. And let's see what else is on. What else is out there? So again, for the music scene, folks, the Ace Frehley stuff. He also announced he's got a book coming out. I got to tell you the truth. I didn't think the first one was great. It was good. I think I said it that when it came out that I thought it was more people were telling him what he did, giving him that Ace really remembering. It's just kind of my opinion. I didn't think it was a great book. I thought it was an okay book. It was not the best of mine. I thought Peter's was the best of the three I read. I refuse to read Paul Stanley's book. I'm sorry. I find it to be too arrogant. I won't read his stuff. So I read Gene's book. It was a decent read. Ace and Peter's books were much better, and I thought Peter's was the best of the bunch. And seemed to be, to me, reading it from the outside, again, I'm not a Kiss insider. I thought it was the best of the bunch. So a lot of stuff going on, guys. You get on the website, Eddie Trunk. Listen to this week's podcast, EddieTrunk.com. I believe it was Michael Anthony of Chicken Foot, formerly of Van Halen. I believe that's podcast1.com, Eddie Trunk. The latest one, last week's Tom Kiefer one was great. Again, I promote it. I have no tie to the show, folks. I'm just as a fan telling you that show going along with Eddie's Serious show, if you're a fan of hard rock and metal like I am, it's where I catch my material. You know, all I do is basically regurgitate what I read and hear from those guys. MetalSludge.tv, Stevie Ray Shell's website is a great one. It's probably even better than Eddie's because it gets into the second-tier bands, and it gives you a lot of festivals information. If you're into festivals, as well, Rock and Skull's coming up out in somewhere in Indiana. They have all those, all those bands from back in the day. I think, let me see if I have a list of some of the bands playing. I thought it was pretty funny, some of the names I saw. Yeah, the headline is Enough's Enough, Danger, and Faster Pussycat. Although I heard Tame Me Down is sick, so I wonder if that's going to attend. There's other Babylon AD, Bullet Boys, Tough. There's a whole bunch of bands playing in that one, and that's 3 days rock festival, November 14th, Peking, Illinois. So, again, not something that I'm going to go to see, but there's all these festivals out there if you get on these websites. But get out there, check out the bands, listen to all this music that's coming out. Guys, you got to support. Otherwise, we're going to be listening to memories. So we're down to about the last 10 or 11 minutes. There's nobody on the board anymore. If you guys, again, want to call in, 347-826-9934. I'll take any more calls. Anybody want to talk about the playoff system? Oh, I never told you about, before I forget, and not that maybe you care, but I think the top five guys to watch this year for Heisman, Mariota, the kid from Oregon, the quarterback, I think he's probably the best shot at it, and that team may be the best team in the country. Again, I'm not a big fan of the system, but I think that wins. I mean, Winston's got to be a guy up there. Melvin Gordon, the running back from Wisconsin. Again, the big, the typical Badger back. I think he's probably the best back in the Big Ten, and I think he'll get a lot of carries playing at Wisconsin like they all do. So he's a guy to look out for. Bryce Petty, their senior running quarterback from Baylor. Maybe he's the next one behind the second Baylor quarterback behind Griffin to win one, but. The guy I like to win it this year, and the guy I'm following, I loved him last year, was Todd Gurley, the running back from Georgia, the junior. And I know the last name Gurley, everybody making fun of it. That guy runs hard. I watched him play in his bowl game. I watched Georgia play a lot last year. I was a big Georgia fan last year watching him play. And I think that's my pick. I think if he stays healthy, that kid is to me. Probably going to win the Heisman. I think Winston won it last year. I think at that age, your mind is a million places. You're already thinking about the pros. You almost worry about not getting hurt. And I think, you know, he probably plays well, but I think it's a step down. And I think it comes down to Gurley and Mariota for the so you can mark that down and call me back in January when they announce it and tell me how wrong I was. But, you know, that's something I didn't touch on before. I got about 9 minutes left. So, again, if you guys want to call to the Hard Rocket Sports Show, 347-826-9934. Again, I love having your calls and comments, even Giuseppe's. So if you want to call in, I got about 9 minutes left to the show. Let's see. The Jets, a couple other. Oh, let's go to the Yankees. I know we haven't touched on the Yankees tonight. Sorry. The Yankees are a weird team. They're staying in it. They're relevant. I think by mid-September, you'll have your answer on whether the Yankees are a playoff team. I think they're going to fall a little short. I think they, you know, notwithstanding last night's offensive explosion, 8 runs, you know, I still think they're struggling to score runs. They're finding ways to pitch well. It's a miracle. Those guys out there, McCarthy, Green, Kuroda, they've all pitched well. I don't know when the bubble bursts. I would like to see them within a game or two. I mean, they're only three. I don't know after today's loss. I don't know where it puts them. But I'd like to see them 2 games out, you know, mid-September. They're playing to the Orioles. And then it's basically a stretch run to the end. So it should be interesting. They're going to be playing September games that are relevant, unless they go on a slide of 4 or 5 games, which they cannot afford. They cannot afford another slide. You know, you lose a game here and there, and you can survive. But you cannot survive a 4 or 5 game losing streak at this point. They need to go out there and win, you know, 8 of 10, 7 of 10, you know, 12 of 15 the rest of the way to keep themselves relevant. I think at the end they don't. However, I'll say this. If they do find a way to get that second wild card and they do get a chance to get in, be a tough team, and I'll tell you why. Once you get to that playoff picture, it's about pitching. And they're pitching really well. I mean, when you'll notice in past years, teams get out there, the Yankees themselves, you're hitting 150 homers a year, you're driving in 7 runs a game, and then you get to the playoffs, and you're not facing the 4 or 5 pitcher anymore. You know, you're getting the top 3 pitchers on every team, every game. And you don't, and then you maybe play a little tighter, but you don't get that luxury of facing the 4 or 5 guy or some guy called up to fill in a spot. Teams will typically go to their bullpen. Now, when your 4 or 5 guy goes to the bullpen, to me, to a certain point, you're an upgrade. Now he's out there pitching. You know, maybe your starter gets you to the 5th. You know, that kind of gets you to the 7th. And the next thing you know, Dylan Betances is in there, the 8th, shutting the door, and Robinson's closing the door, just as an example. So I think, saying I don't think they'll get there, I believe, but I think if they do get there, the recipe for success could be there. The problem with the Yankees is there's not enough hitting. And same problem, same hitting that helps them, hurts them. You're not facing the 3 and 4 pitcher. Although the Yankees lately, they're beating up on Price, they beat up on Scherzer. You know, they are beating good pitchers right now, and they're out pitching them, which is surprising to me. You know, losing 4/5 of the bullpen, I still say I don't want to see Tanaka this year. I don't think you win in the World Series with him or without him. And to me, build arm strength, let him go pitch in the fall if you want. But I would shut him down, you know, let him get a throwing regimen together and not come back this year. So, I mean, that's just me. I don't think that's a good idea. The other thing with the Yankees is, you know, next year is an interesting year. You know, this combination of Betances and Robertson reminds me a lot of 96 with Rivera and Wendland, where Rivera easily was the better pitcher. You didn't really kind of realize it early. And they were a great combination. Rivera, you know, 7th and 8th inning was a lock. He shut you down. And then Wendland could come in and pitch 1 solid inning, shut the door on you. And it was a great combination. We won a World Series. And then the Yankees made that decision in 97 to go with Rivera as the full-time closer. And obviously it worked out for the best. And then they wound up getting Nelson and Stanton, and they created their own back of the bullpen. And I love Patances. I think he's got unbelievable closer stuff. He's a big guy. I worry his delivery may be too much of a stressful delivery. And I wonder, you know, a year or two from now, is he going to blow himself out? But I also say, can you keep him and Robertson for the long term? I think, yeah. I tell you the truth, as much as I like Patances, I would leave it alone. Robertson has done nothing at warrant keeping that job. Now, if the Yankees want to save money and they don't want to pay Robertson right now, they could probably hold on to Patances at a cheap number for a few years to come. But to me, if you can get that combination and some, you know, and they've got good bullpen all year long, I think it's a strength of the team at this point. But if you get to the point where, you know, 7th, 8th, and 9th are almost a lock, it changes the game. I mean, you can't tell me that teams facing the Yankees in the late mid-90s and early 2000s, you know, that was a 7-inning game. You pitched and you said, I have to be in the head by the 8th inning, you know, otherwise game's over. You're going to see Rivera for an inning or two. Later on, it was Rivera for 4 outs or 5 outs, sometimes for 6. So I think it makes people manage the game differently and then play, and you also play the game differently. So having said that, my vote is to keep those guys and build the back of the bullpen as well. And I think for the next 4 or 5 years, they probably would be the best bullpen in the game. Now, at some point, you may lose Patances if he was to stay healthy and keep pitching this well. He may want to go on to be a closer, but for the next 2 years, you probably got him locked up with the arbitration and stuff. I'd have a hard time getting rid of the guy and even making him my number one guy. I, you know, the way people get hurt nowadays, Robertson goes down, you got a guy to step right in. You know, if you got rid of one or the other, you know, you just, in my opinion, weaken the team. So hopefully the Yankees will sign both to a decent long-term deals, and we'll have both of them here for a while. So down to the last 2 minutes, folks. I guess there's no other callers tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening to my rants and raves and having a good time with me. I love doing this. Again, you know, we're doing this every Thursday. Next Thursday, we're going to have Todd back. Hopefully Lou will come back on, and we'll talk football all night. We'll get a two-hour solid football show. Kind of discuss. I'd like to even get Todd to talk a little fantasy with me. We'll talk NFC East for the most part. We'll touch on the rest of the league. We'll kind of preview the upcoming college weekend games. We'll talk about what happened this weekend. First week college football, folks. You're getting a lot of Nebraska, Appalachian State. You're getting you're getting teams kind of beating up on non-conference. Kind of like a warm up game, you know, preseason game for the big colleges. So really nothing, no huge matchups, but we'll talk a little bit of that. And again, I want to just remind everybody about the big show on September 20th. Please get out there and see us and support the cause. As always, I want to thank my big staff here at Hard Rocket Sports. They do a wonderful job. I want to thank my wife for putting up with me being in the back room, talking sports for 2 hours and keeping the house as quiet as possible. So the studios is we have very little interruption on the air. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank all my callers, you know, Todd, Nick, Giuseppe, Lou for checking in from MetLife. As usual, it's a great time, and I appreciate everybody, and I appreciate your support. Remember, if you listen to the show, you like the show, log on to the website and hit the follow button. Show your love. You'll get updates. Down to 5 seconds. Thank you. See you guys next week, 6:30, Hard Rocket Sports. I know. Uh-oh. How's the sound? Is it all right? Oh, yeah?